today is March 5th in front of the state capitol in Phoenix, Arizona, and represent Minority Leader Representative Lopez, who is an advocate of universal health care, is having a press conference in front of the state capitol.
Good morning, everybody. I apologize for being late, but I needed to stay in the health committee and cast my vote, except at the very end they decided not to vote, so that's the way things go around here. Let me thank all of you for coming here today, and I want to extend a special thank you to Dr. Duncan and Dr. Weisbuck for their outstanding presentations in the meeting. We're all disappointed that we weren't in a setting where this was going to move forward. We knew from the beginning, I knew from the beginning, that this was simply an informational hearing and there would not be any vote taken. So we decided it would simply be informational. But I'll tell you, I couldn't be more pleased with the outcome. I absolutely couldn't be more pleased with the outcome, because the testimony dramatically illustrated the differences that there are out there about what needs to be done about this system. Our position, my position, is that the free market doesn't work. It doesn't work in healthcare. It never has worked in healthcare. For those of you who want to think about this, think about if General Motors and Xerox and Honeywell cannot make the health system operate on their behalf in the market, how the hell can any one of us individuals think that we can make the healthcare system operate to our benefit using market mechanisms? So I think the testimony and the discussion illustrated those stark differences between our approach, and it was clear to me, although I'm not an unbiased observer, that our side prevailed, of course. So thank you all very much for coming. Duke, you want to say anything else? Jonathan, you want to say anything else? You're okay. Mary Ellen, you want to say anything? Weisbuck has the floor now. His wife gets it.
Hi, I'm Mary Ellen Bradshaw. I'm a retired pediatrician and have been involved in public health administration on the east side of the country. One of the things that came up in just one of our little discussions around here, and the point was not made in the presentation, and that is the importance of the preventive care that's involved in the administration and the giving of this type of service to everybody. If everybody is enrolled from infancy through the grave, you have prevention, which helps to have healthy children, to have productive citizens and, you know, taxpayers and all that, but it leads to less acute care, less emergency room visits, less increased hospital costs. It just adds to the entire improvement of the entire community. And we're talking immunizations for everybody, including adults. We're talking about the well baby care. We're talking about care for adolescents, where there is intervention, where you talk about potential problems, risk-taking behaviors. You talk about having a healthy lifestyle. The whole issue of also our own role in responsibility for our health, which goes back to the physicians talking to parents, talking to children about how you should live your life. You don't smoke, you eat properly, you exercise, you wear a seatbelt. If you have a motorcycle, you wear a helmet. I mean, all of those things are part and parcel of having a medical home and an ongoing relationship, and the whole business of having an ongoing relationship with a physician is critical. I used to call that the X factor in healing, because if you go from one doctor to another, you don't have a relationship. You don't have that feeling of trust. And with this particular proposal, you can stay with a physician through, you know, your life. Pediatricians will obviously hand over their their adolescents to internal medicine after a while, but or family practice. But you have an X factor, a trust, and we're talking about improving the health care of the entire community, and that cannot be but a cost saver, not just in money, but in the soul and the well-being of any community. So I think this proposal absolutely needs to be supported strongly by all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Let me distribute This is the fact sheet, the summary that I had distributed to the committee this morning. You're here because you're obviously interested in this issue, and you might be asking yourself, you know, what can I do next? Well, let me recommend two things. This is campaign season, in case you didn't know that. In my judgment, the healthcare proposals of Senator Clinton and Senator Obama are drastically unacceptable. The same is true, obviously, of Senator McCain. I say obviously. The same is true of Senator McCain. So I would urge you to, in every opportunity, when you talk with representatives from those campaigns, that you say to them, this is the standard. This is the standard. The closer your proposal gets to this, Mr. Obama, Mrs. Clinton, the closer it gets to this, the more likely it is that I will support you. So you've got a standard you can look at to compare, and they can compare what it is that needs to be done. So that's number one. Number two, part number one as well, is campaign season for this place too. So again, I would urge you, as candidates come your way and ask, what's on your mind? What do you think? What do you want? Because they'll do that. They want your vote. Then again, you can point to this and say, we would like you to support this when you get elected. So but you're not talking in abstractions. You can point to something that's actually here as a proposal. So I would encourage you to do that. And lastly, I would encourage you also for the federal officers, the congressional candidates, ask them whether or not they support John Conyers HB 676 in the Congress. That's HB 676. Conyers' proposal and this proposal are very, very similar. So that's the question you ask of congressional candidates when we're talking about what can be done at the federal level. And I will say to you, a comment that was made in the hearing was, this ought to be done at the federal level, and I cannot disagree with that. It would be better if we did this at the federal level. But the fact of the matter is, at least so far, we ain't moving. And until we move, something has to be done, because we're just getting further and further behind. So unless there are any questions, I will adjourn this. Any questions?
Number?
Yes.
Conyers bill, HB?
HB 676.
Three numbers?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Yes.
When are other hearings? I saw on the legislative access
website, yeah.
That there were other, there was time for rules committee as well as health. Is that right?
That's correct. But it won't go any further than this. Because, I don't know. I should have asked Burton Cahill where the Senate version is, because we introduced the exact same bill in the Senate. But unfortunately, I don't know the answer to that, Jonathan. But as far as this goes, as far as the formal process goes, it's not going to go any further. But even more importantly, what I said earlier about candidates and making sure to tell them that this is where we want them to be.
You think there'll be another committee of meeting on health that we can bring this up?
No, not to bring this up. This will not come up again, except next year. And we made a baby step this year. I mean, this is the third year in a row that I've introduced it, and we made a baby step. So So maybe next year we'll be able to do an adolescent step.
What about the process? What about the process?
That's always an option, and it's one that we've talked about. Only discussions at this point. It could happen on the ballot at some point. Absolutely. Anything else? Not this year. Not this year. Only next year. So we can do that. We can try to do that next year and take it a step further. Well, you can't compare the two, because what's being proposed here ain't anywhere near what Great Britain is. Great Britain is a socialized system. It's a different system. It's like night and day, so you can't make that comparison. The issue of cost is an important one. But as I said in my testimony, we spend $35 billion now. Jonathan says it's closer to 45. You may be right. But it's a lot of money. And I'm convinced that with that amount of money, better distributed, better used, better focused, we could, in fact, cover everybody. But I would also say that's part of the reason the commission studies this thing for a year, to try to figure out exactly how to do this. But my intention would be not to take any general fund money to make this happen. We need to figure out some other way to do it. Yes, ma'am. I have not seen the Lewin study. That's a reputable group, and I'd like to look at it. But I'm a little surprised by that. I frankly am, because all the other studies I've seen do not draw that same conclusion. But I would like to see it. Yeah. Anything else? Sure. Well, let me put it this way. We can do better, and we should do better. I just think we need to get a little bit, you know, Hillary Clinton needs to get a little closer to where she was in 1994. That's where she needs to get, because what she's proposing now ain't anywhere near that. More work needs to be done. Dr. George Pope wanted to say something
to you all before we adjourn. I'm George Powell. I'm a retired physician. I want to speak. One of the main things what I organized for is physicians for a national health program, which has been one of the main things that Phil mentioned about the House Bill 676 in Congress, and the Conyers bill, and it has over 100 supporters now. Grijalva and Representative Grijalva and Pastor are supporters in Arizona. We need more supporters from our congressional delegation. In terms of the national election, I just want to mention, I have with me a couple of reprints from the newspaper articles and so forth that have been put out by PNHP, Physicians for National Health Program. This is I have four or five copies of analysis of the Hillary's and Obama's positions, which I agree certainly with Phil's comment. These are a couple of reprints of the key features of a health plan, which are in the Lopez and other co-sponsored bills here in the House. And so we have a lot of work to do. We need to keep pushing on Phil, and getting this legislature to be made up of the right kind of people who will support it. I appreciate your support. We are forming a group called the Arizona Coalition for a State and National Health Plan. Right. And we need people to participate and help us organize. We have about 150 physicians who are members of PNHB, the National Nurses Organizing Committee. is with us on this, and they of course have a huge following, have done a lot in California and other places. So, but we need the public, we need other organizations to come together and in our state here do this. Thank you.
I would second that, and if you want to be more directly involved in this, St. George, you take care of it. If there are no other questions, again, thank you all very, very much, not only for coming here this morning, but supporting all our efforts to try to do something that not only needs to be done for the uninsured, but it needs to be done for our country, because this is just a big, big embarrassment and a nasty black eye for us. So thank you all very, very much for coming.
This concludes reporting in front of the state capitol in Phoenix, Arizona, in reference to Representative Minority Leader Lopez and trying to get universal health care. He's been persistent every year in trying to get this passed in Arizona. There's about a couple dozen at the rally. And as featured on 60 Minutes last Sunday, it shows that health care in the United States as a whole is in pretty bad shape.